Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salam alaikum. You are welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. As usual, we choose an interesting topic to speak about. For today, we have forgiving and, of course, forgetting in the view of Islam. Today, Sunday, 22nd of Shaban, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Isfand, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. You're listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. And as the ritual of this program, we open Allah's book, the Holy Quran. We listen to one of the interesting verse of this great book. For today, verse 149 of chapter An-Nisa. Then we come back, we speak about this verse.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إن تبدوا خيرا أو تخفوه أو تعفو عن سوء فإن الله كان عفوا قديرا.
If instead you show some good or conceal it or pardon an offense, indeed Allah is ever pardoning and competent.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Whenever you are in the position of power and forgiveness has a training effect to forgive, and wherever silence is abasement and it is strengthens injustice, do shout. Therefore, vengeance and retaliation is legitimate when remittal and forgiveness is a virtue, so it is worthy to pardon when you are powerful. It says, then verily Allah is all pardoning, all powerful. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says, when you gain power over your adversary, pardon him as gratitude for being able to overpower him.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran.
The topic of this part is to forgive, to forget. The Muslim is the brother of his fellow Muslim. He loves for him of good what he loves for himself, and he hates for him of evil what he hates for himself. Undoubtedly, there is no one among us who does not make mistakes and fall short, and does not wrong other people or transgress their rights to some extent. Each of us would like people to forgive him for all the wrongs he has done to them, so that they will not ask for restitution thereof on the day of resurrection, which is the time when he will be most in need of his good deeds. The Messenger of Allah said, charity does not decrease wealth, no one forgives, but Allah increases him in honor, and no one humbles himself before Allah, but Allah raises him in a status.
Mm-hmm.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the essence and importance of forgiveness. Another application of this term encompasses financial donations. In verses and narrations, terms like charity, generosity, magnanimity, and almsgiving denote this type of forgiveness. We might assume that a good life means enjoying happiness and comfort with our family within the confines of our home, making our household the boundary of our efforts to be happy and provide happiness. However, religion offers a different perspective. So what is this perspective? From a religious standpoint, a good life is one that benefits others, allowing them to find happiness and comfort from our existence. Ali ibn Shu'ayb visited Imam Ridha alayhi salam, who asked him, "In your opinion, who lives the best life?" He replied, "You know better than me." The Imam said, "The one whose good life depends on him." The Imam then asked, "Who lives the worst life?" Seeking the answer from the Imam again, he was told, "Anyone whose life brings no benefit to others." Imam Ridha alayhi salam, peace be upon him, concluded with a beautiful recommendation. "O Ali, appreciate the proximity of blessings, for blessings are wild and not easily tamed. If they depart from one group, they do not return. O Ali, the worst of people is one who gives nothing, eats alone, and torments his servants."
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Now one question, how to forgive someone. Discover the lessons you learned. You have to acknowledge the growth you experienced as a result of what happened. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi once said, "You have to keep breaking your heart until it opens." So has it opened yet? Here are a few questions to see if you have indeed learned from the painful incident. Did you learn anything new about yourself? Did you discover anything about your deeds and boundaries? Did you learn anything from the incident? Did this incident change your insight about life and trust? Do you think you're becoming emotionally mature? Not only did you endure what seems to be a painful experience, perhaps you grew from it. Begin to picture your life without holding on to that anger and hurt. Nobody is perfect. The reality is that people are not perfect and everyone is constantly growing. The question is, how do they grow? They mature through mistakes and experiences in life, which involves other people. They are subjected to making mistakes and committing sins. So as flawed people ourselves, we cannot put high expectations on people. Instead, we should make room for forgiveness like the blessed Prophet used to do. Allah, the most forgiving, the most merciful, also forgives his servants who make mistakes. So we should try our best to ignite the spirit of forgiving others in Islam.
So do you want to be happy? Well, learn to forgive. What type of things should you forgive? Forgive as much as you can. You may not forget. That is something interesting. When we were young, we used to hear a statement, forgive and forget, forgive and forget. When we grew older, we realized that, you know what, you can forgive, but not necessarily forget. Because 40 years from now, 50 years from now, I can sit and remember, you know, that brother did this to me, I forgave him. I still remember it. I didn't forget it. I know it. Another thing is, it's important not to sometimes forget so that you are not bitten from the same direction more than once. The hadith says, "La yuldaghu al-mu'minu min juhrin wahidin marratayn." A true believer is not bitten from the same hole by the same reptile twice. Which means this man did something very bad. This man did a business deal with me. He stole my money and he went away. I forgave him, but I'm not going to do business with him now. Nothing wrong with that. You are sharp, you are wise actually. Or if I do business with him now, I'm going to make sure that I have some collateral that I'm holding so that if he tries his trick again, at least I will not suffer the loss. Yes, you are sharp. But if he comes to you, brother, did you hear Sheikh speaking? Forgive, forget, mashallah, you know, it's okay. You say, okay, I've forgiven and I've forgotten. The next day he comes, brother, can I borrow a loan again? You know, can you give me some money, you know? Can you lend me some money? Then what happens? You say, yes, give it to him. Wallahi, that shaking of your head, you won't know whether it is a yes or a no. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So you don't need to forget something after you've forgiven it. That's not necessarily an Islamic teaching. Yes, if it is minor things and so on, forgive, forget. But major things, remember them. Do not remember them in a way that you want to keep reminding people, you know, you did this and I forgave you. You know that? You did this and I forgave you. Don't forget. And 20 years later, you did this and I forgave you. No. We are not remembering things in order to remind people. We are remembering things in order for us to be reassured.
Forgiving and forgetting, we should know more and more, and of course practicing them. So inshallah, we follow this interesting and necessary topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. So follow us on parstoday.ir, the tab call of Islam. The archive of all the programs are there. Please find today's special. Thank you very much and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, محمد نبي علي إمامي. لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us ponder on a saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, regarding the coming of the Redeemer of mankind, his 12th infallible heir, who will establish a global government of peace and justice. The Mahdi will be descended from me, he will be a man with an open countenance and a face with a high nose. He will fill the earth with equity and with justice, just as it has been filled with tyranny and oppression. Pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. It's a very good program called Hadith of the Day. Inshallah, we are going to discuss in this Hadith session. In every session, couple of Hadith or at least one Hadith explaining what is Shia and what is the Shia faith. Basically, people ask us, who are you? What is your identity? So we have to explain, and we will try to explain our identity through the eyes of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wassalam. So the first Hadith we are going to discuss today, it's a just 2-3 line hadith, and there's a few points has been discussed about the qualities of Shia. This hadith is here where Abi Basir asks from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, who are the Shia? And then Imam explains, Shi'atuna ahlul wara' wal ijtihad wal ahlul wafa wal amana ahlul zuhd wal ibadah wal ibadah ashabu ihda wa 50 rak'ah. Well, Imam explains couple points, mainly in this hadith, as I have noted down, there's 12 points here discussed. So what we do, inshallah, we are going to explain one by one point with the hadith, with the explanations of ma'asumin and infallibles, and see how they explain. So the first point is discussed here is Shi'atuna ahlul wara'. Wara' in Arabic grammar, wara' means the one who protect himself or refrain himself from committing any kind of sin and doesn't want to go close to any sin, basically. This is the meaning of wara'. Wara' means the pious, piety. The one who keep himself away or herself away from committing any type of sin. This is the wara'. Well, we are going a little bit in detail to discuss more about Wara from the words of Ahlul Bayt. The first hadith I have picked here is from Wasa'il al-Shia, volume 15, page number 245. And the hadith is an Abi Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam from Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, Qala Allah Azza wa Jal, Yabna Adam. Yabna Adam, when hadith starts with this word, means this is hadith Qudsi. So we have words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the format of Quran. This is called Wahi. And the other part is message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not part of Quran, which is called in English, in Arabic, as hadith Qudsi. So Imam is narrating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, the source is definitely his ancestors, and then hadith goes to Imam Ali and then Rasulullah. Allah says, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَبْنَ آدَمَ اجْتَنِبْ مَا حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْكَ تَكُنْ مِنْ أَوْرَعِ النَّاسِ. Allah says in this hadith, O son of Adam, اجْتَنِبْ مَا حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْكَ. Just keep yourself away from what I have said is haram on you. Haram means you are not allowed to touch it, see it, taste it. Haram means this is the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not allowed to pass the boundary. You are not allowed to cross the boundary. Haram means haram. You are not allowed to touch it. So Allah says, اجتنب ما حرمت عليك, O son of Adam, O human being. If I say, don't do this, don't eat this, don't look at that, that means this is haram. Don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all haram. Allah says, don't do that. حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْكَ. What he has does haram on us. If you refrain yourself from that thing, تَكُنْ مِنْ أَوْرَعِ النَّاسِ, then you are going to be the most pious person, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected listeners from all over the world, welcome to IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy to have brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, and Hassan Nasrullah with me here today in the studio. I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And Fawad, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Hassan, how are
fine,
you?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah,
Hussein?
Sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, today we will be working on Ayah 31, Surah Al-A'raf. What page?
154.
So, brothers and sisters, as you know, every day we will be working on some verses from Surah Al-A'raf and so on. We'll have the tajweed rules and the recitation, a little explanation about each ayah, and yeah, that's it. So, ayah 31 of surah Al-A'raf. Today is the main topic. Let's listen to the recitation and then we will move on.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Bani آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين.
ما شاء الله, nice recitation. Great. Who's gonna recite this ayah once? Huh? Anyone? Any volunteer? Hussein, Ali Nasir, Hassan, Fawad?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hussein is going to recite this ayah once. Everyone, let's listen to Hussein.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا. إنه لا يحب المسرفين.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. All children of Adam, Allah Almighty talks to all of us. It's not only Muslims, it's all of us. Alright? All. Allah says, put on your adornment on every occasion of prayer, on every masjid, okay, wherever you go. I mean, whenever you go to the masjids, okay? Masjid, since it's the best place for worshipping, yes? Best place? Masjid is the house of Allah, yes?
Yes.
So wherever you go, whenever you go to the masjids, try to be very clean, very neat, the best clothes you have put on. And yeah, of course, because you're also going two things, okay? You go to prayer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in meeting with Allah Almighty, and also you meet some of your Muslim brothers. So try to be very
clean and neat
and also good smelling. Yeah?
Yeah,
these things. Comb your hair. Okay, so go to the masjids and pay attention to these things. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, and eat and drink, but do not waste, do not commit extravagance, israf. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ, indeed he does not like the wasteful. Alright, we'll explain. That's the translation, we'll explain it inshallah. So, Fawad, can you tell us some tajweed points we really have to pay attention to in this ayah in terms of recitation? Huh?
So, there are four major rules for noon sakin or tanween.
Uh-huh.
So the first one which I see is in inda.
عِنْدَ
إِخْفَى.
So everyone look at the word عِنْدَ. Fawad says we should apply the rule إِخْفَى. What does إِخْفَى mean and how do you do it?
Hide the sound of the noon or tanween. And then proceed.
So how do you do that?
عِنْدَ.
Is that right?
Yes.
So, great. Thank you, Fawad. So there are four important rules for the noon sakin or the tanween. Whenever you have a noon sakin or a tanween, no matter it is tanween
or nunsa.
Yeah, no matter it's tanween fatha or tanween
kasra
or
dhamma.
Tanween dhamma. An, in,
un.
Any of them.
Yes.
So the basic rule is that it depends, the rule, this four, one of these four rules. Depends on what? How do you understand you have to apply, for example, the rule ikhfa? The rule idgham, the rule?
The letter which comes after.
Ah, that's the general rule. The letter that follows tanween or nun sakin tells you what rule you should apply. Hasan, right?
Yes.
For example, if you have yarmalun letters, how many letters? Six letters which you have combined with the word yarmalun. Malun. Hussein, name them.
Ya,
ya,
ra,
meem,
meem,
lam,
lam,
vau,
wow,
and noon.
And noon.
Whenever you have one of these four letters, you have to
merge.
Merge the sound of tanween or noon sakin into
the next letter.
The next letter. Join them. So, Ali Nasir, can you read عند كل مسجد? How do you do that? So yes. Wait. Dal is one of the
Qutb Jadler.
No.
Yes, the rest of
in case it is Sakin, but here it is not Sakin. Yeah. So it comes after Nun Sakin.
It is the rest of the letters.
From the rest of the letters. We have four groups of the letters.
Yes.
Throat letters, the letter Ba, the letters of Yarmalun, and the rest of the letters. So it's from the rest of the letters. It's yes. not from any other groups.
Yes.
So what do you do here?
Ikhfa.
As Fawad said, we apply the rule Ikhfa.
As I said.
Yeah, as Fawad said. Okay, Mr. Fawad. So you hide the sound of Noon. Yeah. And you extend it for two counts. And you produce
nasal sound.
A nasal sound, kind of. All right, Ali Nasir, do it.
Yes.
For what? Check it out.
Inda kulli masjid.
Correct?
No, wrong.
No, it was wrong. Why?
Why?
Why was it wrong?
Yeah, he said masjid.
We're talking about the ikhfa.
Oh, that was correct.
That was correct. So, how is it, Hassan?
Inna kulli masjid.
Ahsan. Inda kulli masjid. Good job. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Sir?
Yep.
We have a rule before this.
Okay, where is that?
The mad ones.
Oh, the mad. The word ya bani. Is the mad wajib or to extend? You have to extend it?
No.
Or you're allowed to extend
jayz.
It?
You're allowed.
You're allowed extend. To extend it or to skip it? Alright. So you could read it how, Hussein? With the mad? If you
yes.
prolong it?
If we read it with the mad, it's ya bani Adam.
Good. If we read it without the mad?
Ya bani Adam.
Good job. Both are correct. Thank you so
yes.
much.
Yes.
Okay. Kulli masjidin.
Plus wow.
All right. I remember reminded of one point. Look, Allah Almighty, I was reading the interpretation and I was saying like, it talks about having the masjid as the best place. It means it should be a good place for worship. Okay, you have to have this in mind, okay? You have to try your best. For example, if you have any programs, any festivals, any marasim, okay? Decorate it. Yeah? Participate in decorations. And also, this ayah could mean like, because children, okay? Children and family, they are called zina. Zina, okay? Decorations or adornment in the Quran.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why this ayah tries to say that you take your children with you to the masjids. Right?
Is it obligatory?
No. It says because it affects you. Affects okay your children.
Children. Yeah.
You can raise them. You can bring them up better. Kulli masjidin. It's got a tanween.
Yes.
After tanween.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. Wow is one of the.
Yarmalun,
and the rule
Idgham
is applied. Who can do it? For what do it? Kulli masjidiw. Diw. Good job. You merged them. You joined them. Kulli masjidiw. Wakulu washrabu wala tusrifu. Allah says, first in this ayah, Allah Almighty was talking about the spiritual part of our life.
Yes.
And then worldly life. Okay. Drink. Eat. But be careful not to waste. So you go to the shop. If you need 1 kilo apple, okay, because they usually get pale, yes? So soon. So it's better for you to buy as much as you need. So if you, for example, you need 1 kilo of apple, if you buy 5 kilos of apple, so then you need to throw the rest of them away because you can't eat them anymore.
Yes.
So, or if you don't have refrigerator, for example, you cannot keep them for a long time, so it will be a waste. Okay? This is called israf, which is haram in Islam. So, innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. The last point, Hassan will help us with it. Then we'll practice the recitation. Hassan, can you tell us about that baby jim on the top of the word tusrifu? First, yes. Tell us what it talks about. What is it?
All right. It says that it's optional to stop or to continue.
So it means that it's a stopping sign then.
Yes.
It's a station. Okay. But it stops.
Yes. But it is on you to pause or to continue.
Good job. So you're allowed. Jim comes from the word ja'iz.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's it. I will. And the word innahu, in nun mushaddad, and also ha, who, make sure you prolong it for two counts. Innahu la yuhib. Innahu la, no. Hula, no. Innahu la. Alright, Fawad?
Yes.
So let me recite this ayah once. Make sure you repeat after me, brothers and sisters. Dear listeners, will also join us in recitation. Then we'll end the class. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا
يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا
إنه لا يحب المسرفين
إنه لا يحب المسرفين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم. Allah bless you, inshallah. That's it from us for today, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Stay with us. Thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you in the next coming sessions, inshallah. Thank you so much, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Adi Nasser, for being with us in this session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-Tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome. This is the Ocean of Dua, where we embark on a journey to the profound ocean of spiritual insight. This is Mushtaba Farzana, your host for today's episode. Since the profound verses of the whispered prayer Sha'baniya are filled with wisdom and insight, we are going to continue our discussion on that specific segment of the Munajat. Through these discussions, we aim to uplift our understanding from the rich Islamic heritage. So without any further ado, let's get into today's segment of the Dua. Open your hearts and let's embark on this journey together. I'll be right here with you when you come back.
إلهي أقمني في أهل ولايتك مقام من رجى الزيادة من محبتك إلهي وألهمني ولهن بذكرك إلى ذكرك وهمتي في روح نجاح أسمائك ومحل قدسك.
Now that we have admired the beauty of these lines, let's read their English translation. My Lord, place me among those who show servitude to you, the position of those who consistently hope to increase your love. My Lord, please inspire me with a mounting passion for your remembrance and with an enthusiasm for the refreshing resort to your names and the station of your holiness. Dear brothers and sisters, in our previous episode, we tried to shed a little bit of light on the concept of wilaya. We provided some Quranic examples as well to make the distinction between a positive wilaya and a negative one. In this episode and the upcoming ones, we try to talk about the categories of wilaya. I hope you find this content beneficial, and I hope we can all apply the true meaning of wilaya in our society. Before we get into today's discussion, you must bear in mind that depending on the different aspects of wilaya, there are different categories as well. So don't get them confused and be mindful of the distinctions. As we already mentioned, the concept of wilaya denotes an effective relationship between two sides. If we put God on top of this relationship and his creation on the other side, we can imagine two forms of wilaya. Wilaya takwiniya, or creational wilaya, and wilaya tashri'iya, or legislative wilaya. Creational wilaya is Allah's authority, intervention, and control over things and affairs in his creation. One's power to walk and run, animals' power to chase their prey, and evaporation of water are the examples of this sort of wilaya. Legislative wilaya, on the other hand, is Allah's power to establish rules, duties, and rights, as it is self-explanatory. All the social and personal rulings of Islam fall under this category, such as rulings of fasting, praying, marriage, divorce, and so on. Interestingly, Allah's creational wilaya is not exclusive to Him. Prophets, Imams, and the God-weary ones respectively have their own share of the creational wilaya. The limits and boundaries of the creational wilaya for individuals is discussed in theology. However, the most obvious example is the miracles, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed the power of intervention in creation upon his prophets as a means of proving their prophethood. But before we go to the legislative one, let's take a short break and come back. Stay tuned.
Alhamdulillah, we have been given the blessed opportunity of witnessing another month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Allah's mercy and pleasure. حَفَفْتَهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالرَّضْوَانِ Allah has covered this month with His pleasure and mercy. I thought it might be good to have a little introduction to Munajat Sha'baniyyah the late Imam Khomeini in many places on several occasions emphasized on this munajat. And in one of his sayings, he said that there are many important mystical points that one can understand from the Quran and whispered prayers of Imams. And then in particular, he mentioned Munajat al-Sha'baniyyah. And he said, philosophers, mystics may be able to understand some aspects of these whispered prayers. But if someone wants to really understand, must be a person who has himself achieved a high level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he can have a taste, he can have an experience of what he says. In another place, the late Imam Khomeini said something very important. He said, this Munajat al-Sha'baniyyah is one of the whispered prayers that if someone pays attention to it and follows it and reflects on it, he can reach somewhere. He can achieve some levels of perfection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month of forgiveness and to be pleased with us in this month of pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, our families, our community, all humanity with His pleasure, with His reward, with the coming of Imam Mahdi ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, with forgiveness, with being able to remain always on the right path.
When it comes to the legislative wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to acknowledge that every single prophet played his role in the formation of Sharia, which is a sort of constitution for believers. It was the prophets who brought this message to humankind through revelation, and now in today's world, when the beloved Imam of our time is an occultician, the jurists and fuqaha are the ones extracting and deducting the Islamic rulings based on the available sources for the lay people. Under this legislative wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is observing the do's and don'ts, there are diverse groups who worship Allah. Imam Ali alayhi salam categorizes Allah's servant into three. Those who worship God because they fear Him. The commander of faithful calls this type of worship ibadatul abid, the worship of his slave. As if had it not been for Allah's wrath and his hellfire, they wouldn't have worshipped him. The second group are the merchants, those who worship God for the rewards. Their act of worship is called ibadatul tujjar. Hadn't God secured their reward for their good deeds, they wouldn't have worshipped his Almighty. And the final group are those who worship God just because they find the Lord of the universe so exalted and so sublime that they can't do anything else but to worship Him and show their own humility towards Him. Even if there is no hell and heaven, they still prostrate before the glorious Allah. These people are free, and that's why Amir al-Mu'mineen calls their worship Ibadatul Ahrar. We implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to worship Him on the level of Ibadatul Ahrar and seek nothing but Him. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Sha'ban b'jamalak jalalak zahawban wal'alam yigillak ahibak ya Sha'ban. شعبان بجمالك جلالك زغوبان
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زغوبان والعالم يقلك أحبك يا شعبان
والعالم يقلك يا حبيب
شعبان بجمالك جلالك
شعبان.
أحبك يا شعب يا شعب أحبك يا شعب.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله.
Answering the doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah,
who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atar, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom and Islamic scholar, Sayyid Zain. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Zain. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, Sayyid Zain, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the book Nahjul Balagha, a book that was compiled by Sayyid al-Ravi, one of the most outstanding, we can say, blatterist Shiite scholars, Fuqaha and Muhaddisin of the Shiite world. He, along with Sayyid al-Murtadha, were considered among the most outstanding students of Shaykh al-Mufid. And this is why their works found authenticity. But his work, Nahjul Balagha, which is wrongly believed to be the book of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is not, you know, in the public opinion sometimes says, did you read, for example, Nahjul Balagha of Imam Ali? This is not the book compiled by Imam Ali himself. Sayyid al-Razi compiled it. And now the question is that, is this the first compilation of the words and the sayings, letters, sermons, and the aphorisms of Imam Ali alayhi salam compiled? Whether at his time Imam Ali alayhi salam himself tried to compile something, or his closest companions, in regard to time and the manner, or not?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So as you said, Nahjul Balagha, it's a book of compilation of Imam Ali's sayings, his sermons, letters. It's a very important book as well for the Shias. And the Muslim world in general, there's a lot of, you know, even Ahl al-Sunnah, Sunni people who have, scholars who have written commentaries on Nahjul Balagha itself and given it importance.
Yes.
Now back to your question, whether it's the first book written about Imam Ali and his sayings. No, so it's not. I'm not aware of what book was the first book,
yes,
whether during Imam Ali himself, his time, something was compiled or not. But we know that there have been many, many books throughout the lives of the Imams,
yes,
that were compiled by the different companions of the Imams. Right, so much so that basically you're told that there were around 6,000 books of a hadith that were compiled.
Yes.
Now, there weren't only, you know, Amirul Mu'mineen Imam Ali's sayings. There were, you know, all the different imams. But, you know, traditions were compiled before,
yes,
this time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And amongst those 6,000, there's 400 which are called Usul al-Arba'a'mi'a, right?
Yes.
So there are the 400 Usul, which are called.
Yes.
And there were, you know, 400 books of ahadith from the Aimma that were, you know, very famous. And scholars later on, such as Sheikh Kunaini, who compiled, you know, the big volume.